got a little change in my pocket, going jingling-a-ling. Gonna call you on the telephone, baby, give you a ring. But each time I call, I get the same old thing. Always so honky-tonking team, you'll get a wedding ring. My honey, my baby, don't put my love on no shelf. She said, don't have me no lies and keep your hands to yourself. Hey, welcome to Delicious Recipe, here with your host, The Dell. And tonight's episode is called Magical Perspective Pastry. And guess what? Who do I have on? My girl. Don't put no love upon no shelf. It's the Angel Rock, Laura Lee Puffin. Tell us where you are and where you're from and what you're all about.
Where I'm from? I live with you, The Dell. I'm actually at the show on right after this, the Angel Rock. We're a little late putting the banner up tonight. I apologize, folks, but been on the air since about 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which I'm very grateful to spend all this time with you. So the Angel Rock will be coming up next from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then I also have, I co-host the Trip in the Void with Seraphine Hurley on Tuesday nights, same time, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on here on UPRN. And I also have, I might as well talk about my Facebook page. Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Angel Rock. You can find me on there to book all kinds of things with readings. If you need some information from Spirit about what's going on in these uncertain times. And I also have two groups on Facebook. We can talk about that after because you just got an hour.
Woo-hoo! Right? Yes, exactly. And it is a beautiful Monday, June 1st.
That's right.
We had a beautiful day up here yesterday here in Thunder Bay, nice and warm. I spent the day out at camp, and you got to spend it here in town.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at what we're going on here today with all the changing times. So here on the Delicious Recipe, we talk about conspiracies, and we talk about different things that are going on in the media. And what we basically do is we just throw a lot of ingredients in the pot. There are no opinions. There's nothing bad, nothing sad, nothing anything about that. And some ingredients might come in there and you might not like the taste of them. Some you might do. But at the very end of the show, we come up with a final dish. And you know what? Whether you can stomach it, taste it, like it, love it, you know what? It's everybody's flavor. It depends on what you want to have. So that's sort of the way that we sort of go through here. So we're just sort of, basically, we're sort of just throwing lots of different ideas into the pot and basically to make you sort of think outside the box. And I sort of had written down this part here because I can never remember because my brain works too fast. And if I don't start writing things down, then I forget what I was saying. So we're going to think outside of the box and look at the box. And why are we actually looking at that box? Or is it a box? The magic of perception and the impact of it on our system of our reality, right? So how do you sort of think with things that are going on there, Laura Lee? How do you think that things that are perceived in the media, people on social media, peer group friends and that, how do you think that they're getting their information and how are they perceiving things? Even when, because you've been out and around the city and you've seen sort of the people, some people are wearing masks, some people are wearing shields, some people are wearing glasses, some people are upset if you're not wearing one, and some people are laughing at people that are wearing ones. And this whole sort of perception of information that has sort of come through. And it's up to you really to decide on what is good for you, not government to decide what you should do. That's sort of another question. That's another ingredient we can throw in there too as well. What are your thoughts on that? That's a big mouthful for me to toss down your throat.
Well, basically what I think it is, okay, being here, what I've noticed, because I'm the one that usually does the shopping in the house, that through this whole pandemic, I have not really noticed any difference in activity. There's been, it's literally like rush hour constantly. There's lineups everywhere you go that's open. The one thing I have noticed, more and more and more and more people seem to be wearing masks, but I have yet there's been two incidences only. Otherwise, most people have been really wonderful. They may come up behind you in an aisleway or something and say, hey, you know, do you mind if I pass by? Absolutely no problem, I always say. Or people have been really polite, you know, apologize if they happen to cross in front of you. And I always say, hey, no worries. You've got a mask on, whatever. It is what it is. You know, if you practice washing your hands and proper sanitation, I think it's with anything, whether it's flu season or it's pandemic season, whatever it is. The only thing that's really annoyed me, there's always people like this. And in some stores, people have decided to put arrows on the floor about what aisle you can go down and what way you can follow it. And I've had two people say, hey, you're not following the arrows. And I just usually ignore them. But what I want to say is, are you that much of asleep, a drone, whatever you want to be, that your biggest concern in life is whether I am following an arrow that somebody taped on the floor? Am I close to you? No. Am I 6 feet away from you? Yes. Am I bothering you? No. My thing is, you know what? Keep to yourself, mind your own business. And because one person decided to put an arrow on the floor does not make you the arrow police. But, and I've tried to realize that some people, I guess, have nothing better in life to do than to do that. Because the other thing I've said to you is, think about this. When you go shopping, excuse me, unless it's Black Friday in the US or, you know, there's a major, major sale, crazy, frantic people looking for deals. Normally in a store, I know you hate going shopping, but when you're in a store.
Except if it's Home Depot or Canadian Tire, then I
don't mind. But even that, okay, when you're in a store, are you right up somebody's butt shopping? No. Everybody has distance between each other. There is more social distancing going on in a store, I find, than in the damn lines. People are not social distancing. Or then you get the idiot that believes that 6 feet means 20 feet. So they stand 20 feet away from the other person. But most places, people are wall to wall to wall to wall to wall, standing there waiting in line for their turn to go in the store. What sense does that make? So even if there was 10 people in an aisle, you were not going to find people unless something that's $100 is on for, say, $5. They're not going to be climbing all over each other. People mind their own business. Even if you, and I'm the type of person, being an empath, I will get people come up to me and tell me their whole life story. They still don't go in your personal space. People understand, most people, social rules, you know, giving you space. So I don't understand what the issue is. Like, I think most people are intelligent enough, not everybody, but most people are intelligent enough to recognize that they don't need to be told what to do. We're adults. We should be able to figure this out.
Well, that's true. And that comes into a whole part of, that'll come into another part of a question about government being the parent and the society being the scolded little child. And I'll say one thing is that, like I said, I hate shopping. I hate being in the stores and that there's something I want to go in and get. And I want to just get in there and get out. And I've been like that for about 30, 40 of my 50 years. So I just want to get in and get out.
I hate shopping with you because it makes me anxious.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like when we went down to Toronto there, I'm just pouting when I'm sitting out there. It says, oh, geez, like how many pieces of underwear do you have to look at? Right, just grab a pair and get out.
It's for your benefit.
Yeah. But I noticed that today. So I went shopping with my mom there today because I ripped out all the carpet from the up part of our camp the other day. And had to take that to the dump. And now up here in Northern Ontario, now you have to pay to take your garbage away, which is really funny. After that's actually put into your city taxes and that, but charge you $10 to dump a load of garbage. But so you're going through, so we ripped out the carpet, and my mother and I would be sort of discussing about flooring plans to put in there for the upstairs floor. So we came to a conclusion about floating floor, click and stick, put in there, not a problem. Easy thing. So we're going through. So at the very beginning, it says texture tile, right? Feel the difference. So I'm going by and I'm feeling every single flooring and tile to feel it's going to be slippery or what type of grip it is. Halfway down the aisle, I see a sign that says please do not touch the display items. I'm like, oh, geez, I've been doing this for like the last 10 minutes, touching everything. And my mom goes, oh, well. This is like, but then I noticed in the store, too, is that they had this social distancing stuff. They had arrows there, too. And people, like, there was maybe none of the staff, or not, I can't say none, but maybe about 10% of the staff were wearing gloves and masks. The rest of them weren't. And they're stocking all the shelves. And all the people, customers coming in there, maybe 10% were wearing masks, and nobody wearing gloves. But they had those stupid arrows through the line going through there. And so you got to figure at the big box store like this was Home Depot, there's got to be about, I don't know, maybe about 150 different rows to go down. And then if you go down that row, and you go down and it says, oh, this is not the row, you got to go down, you have to that row, follow the arrow, go back two rows, come all the way back down this way, and then mm-hmm. go all the way over, go up that row. And if it wasn't what it is there, but it was on that other row, you have to go down, come back this row. And it was just like it's like worse than like the Minotaur maze to go around to just go and find something where you could have been in and out of the store in such least amount of time than what it was. And another thing was, is that we were just going in there just to go and look and to see if they had what we needed, right? But they're like, you have to take a cart. Well, I don't even know what if I'm buying anything yet. So they're making this whole thing about take a cart. It says, well, I'm not taking a cart. And I thought, this is, we're just going to go in and look. So then we actually found something. I had to leave the store, go outside the store, go get a cart that's just sitting in the parking lot. Nobody's cleaning carts. They didn't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Wheeled it right back in there and just started hauling and loaded it up like about 15 bundles of laminate flooring. And then this area rug, like it's a 10-foot by 8-foot area rug, threw that on there. And so now I have this big, huge cart. Now I have these sheeple people that believe all media and believe everything that's going on, and God bless them, whatever they are, but they're very like the SJW cancel culture people, like, you're going down the wrong way. I says, well, the cart doesn't fit down that arrow way, and the only one that's wide enough is the arrow that's coming this way, and there's nobody there. So I got a lot of really nasty looks, and the staff guy says, just go. Like, a lot of people are just like, this is being actually really, really blown out of proportion. And then they go to the till, and then they're like, okay, well, do you want a receipt? Right. And they're going, you have to print it here. I can't touch the receipt. And that was the same thing as like when we took the carpet to the dump on Sunday. They said, okay, we want your name, your number, your address, where you are. You can't sign this. Right. So they took all your information, all your billing address and information. Because of COVID-19, you can't sign this form, but I'll put a check mark that you agreed that I signed it for you. Now, who's to say that that person isn't a nefarious person? And because all they do is just mail you a bill for the $10 for dropping off your garbage, that somebody doesn't come by, or her or a friend or somebody else goes and just takes some snapshot pictures of her sheets there that are sitting in the office, right? Mm-hmm. And then gives them out, and then next thing you know, you have a bill for $500 because people have been delivering their household waste from their place with your address on it, and you keep on getting billed because you never signed anything. They didn't even ask for ID to go out there, but they took down your mailing address and were mailing you a bill. I thought it was really, really weird. There's a lot of really weird stuff that's going on with this rules that were sort of in place for a virus that is no greater or stronger than anything that's existed since 1918. And the amount of rules and regulations that have been put into place and restrictions just seems to be like I've used this word many times, boiling the frog. Little steps of just pushing things further to cause an agenda to move people in a certain way of control and empower. What do you think about that? Sorry, I rambled too long there, but it's my show, so I can. So
you can. It's your show. no, that's what my problem is with this is, you know, And I've said this before, people call us tinfoil hat wearing individuals or whatever you want to call it. But you know what? There is more behind this whole agenda. And I know people don't believe this. And I always said people were asleep. And one of my guests I had on a few weeks ago, Curtis Joseph, said to me privately off air, he goes, Laura, they're not asleep. You can wake people up that are asleep. They're sedated. And you know what? I believe that because, you know, all you have to do is spend a little time, connect the dots and take a look at the whole, all the pieces put in, you put them all together. And you realize, you know, they have this rule that they let you know, and they do let you know, whether it's in a book, whether it's in a movie, whether anything at all that people access socially, they will put it in there. And whether they say it's just a fake movie, it's a fake whatever, when you go back and you look at it, they've spelled it out for you. For example, this coronavirus, if you go look at actual video footage from event 201 in October 2019, and you listen to the fake mock coronavirus that they planned, right, which was,
but that wasn't televised anywhere, that it was actually available.
I understand, but you can find it. Okay, I'm just saying, using it for example, not a good one. I mean, we could go back through time. I can talk about the novel by Dean Koontz from 1981. I have the picture of the novel. I can find the title if you want. It's got right in there talking about something like this happening. What I'm saying is they always let you know somehow one way or another. But the point is, you can still see footage from Agenda or Event 201. From October 2019. Go on YouTube, you can look it up. And they are talking about a coronavirus. Oh, look at
that. I'm blocked out by a screen thing on my face. So maybe I gotta sit up a little bit higher.
I can see you. But the thing I'm trying to say is that if you hear them talking, because they're all these people, was put on by Bill Gates, of course, World Health Organization. There are representatives from all over the world from health organizations globally. And they're talking like in real time. I can still see Adele. And they're, if you hear them talking, it is like they are talking today about what is going on, what's going to happen to the economy, social distancing, how they're going to handle this, that they're not prepared, they don't have enough protective equipment for everything that's going on. What I'm saying is there is a bigger picture here, even about it's very, very tragic about what happened to George Floyd. But when you look, put even the pieces together about that, the video that is actually out there shot by bystanders, we're not talking about what the news is reporting, because I'm sorry, I don't think we can trust all the news. But you look at what's out there, you know, there's some fishy stuff, including about afterwards when the so-called ambulance shows up. And what steps out of the ambulance is not EMTs, but armed police officers. There was still time to do, being a registered nurse myself, CPR. There was still time. Why did they not have any resuscitative equipment or oxygen? They didn't do any vitals. They didn't do anything. They just picked them up, slammed them on a gurney, and took off. There's videos of bricks being provided for people at these riots, like directing people to the bricks. There's video of Minneapolis, I believe it was last Tuesday, when the first supposed peaceful demonstration started. There's a Caucasian gentleman, all in black. You can see his eyes and his face, smashing windows, and people saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? This was a peaceful protest. Like, you're going to get the police here. Somebody, again, you may call them SJWs, whatever you want to call them, but they find stuff on the internet. They have found, allegedly, and I've looked at the pictures, the supposed police officer and the person that's masked, and from the face and the eyes, identical. So is it police officers that started this to get the riot? Like, what is the whole thing going on behind this? I think there's a much bigger picture.
Well, there has been in the past there for certain riots and protests where there has been nefarious agencies, government agencies, or you want to say alphabet agencies, or billionaire funded agencies that cause social change, where they have paid people to go in and they've put in actors to do certain tasks, to fake injuries, fake events, but also to incite riots too. And this has been shown on many different channels and that, and it's been all exposed to as well. And the government's also been exposed in various countries. And the thing is, though, is that the reason that we talk about the U.S. and a lot, because we're up here in Canada, but everything that happens in the U.S. eventually travels downhill to this little 45 billion or 105 million population of Canada. I don't even know what our population is anymore. It's, I don't know, Trudeau keeps on letting people in, letting people out. So, and who knows where they all disappear to, probably into black ops programs anyways. But anyways, the thing is, though, is that it's just a lot of stuff ends up happening, and a lot of programs and stuff that what they call the fake news, you'd say, or fake stuff to incite people that aren't looking at anything, that they only just look at what they see off the TV, and they believe that to be the Bible truth, because that's how they've been programmed through their school, through their peer groups, and other people that have been programmed as well, right? It's almost like a cult of personality, in a way of that's everybody thinks the same way. And the terms have been used, sheeple. I use another term, I call them tech babies. Tech babies are people that are dependent on electronics. They can't do anything else besides have some sort of electronics with them, and they get all their information through their social platforms. So tech babies, I termed it a long time ago, credit right here. So, but anyways, the thing is, was that you've seen with this virus that went through, you've seen a decline of small town sustainability, right? Mm-hmm. Due to the technology and the drug of modernism, right? Long time is that a lot of people there, they had, like growing up, I even remember my grandmother, like downtown before Thunder Bay became amalgamated from Fort William, Port Arthur, like they had a chicken coop in their backyard. They grew all their vegetables in their backyard. My uncle had planted worms in the backyard. They got those for fishing to go out fishing. This is like right down by, like, you know where my grandmother's place is, like down in by the center of town, intercity area, right? And so the whole thing is that they've moved people into this area, and where business has gone is into the big cities, right? Like, even look at, like, Thunder Bay is not a big city, but all major industry was in the town, right? If you lived out of town, things became more expensive if you moved out of town, because you had to pay for gas to get into town. So they raise gas prices to force you into town, force you into these smaller compacted areas where they can control you by stoplights, by police that are around there from what you're doing, right? Because you remember, like, what happens out at camp? Like, out at camp, it's like almost free. It's almost like a breath of fresh air. It's like
it is.
You've escaped most of technology. You have some there. Like, I don't think technology is bad. I've never said technology is bad. I think technology is a really, really great thing. But the way that economics has worked is that technology should make things easier and cheaper, but it's actually done the reverse. It's made things more expensive, and it keeps on growing in an escalating curve. Because I've used this analogy a few times. It says a potato 50 years ago is still the same potato today, but now today you can produce 50 million more potatoes faster than you could 50 years ago.
Right.
So, like, do you ever remember the candy Mojos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mojos. You used to get two for a penny.
Right.
We don't even have – pennies don't even exist in our economy in Canada anymore. They removed the penny out of the whole entire market.
Yeah.
And a Mojo costs now, I don't know, 2 cents or a penny or whatever. You don't get the same thing. But the thing is, though, is that technology and advancement should make things should make things a lot easier and cheaper, but it's gone the exact reverse.
Right.
And so, like, you've seen there, you've been doing a lot of crafts and stuff like that, with dealing with dollar store stuff. And you see that stuff that's advertised that you could actually build yourself faster, but a lot of people just go and would rather not spend the time because they're so addicted to
Yep.
The speed of the internet, they can't spend the time to slow down. Have you seen that a lot?
Well, I've seen that a lot, but what I mostly see is that people are not using, like, there's nothing wrong with social media, don't get me wrong, or at the internet or whatever, but people are failing to recognize that, rather than copying what people do, using it for stimulus for creativity to create something that's your own, as well as that you have the whole world at your feet. Like, you'll hear so many people think so small, like that they need something like a brick and mortar to do business. So many people I've talked to, or they don't realize, especially in our age group, I'm finding a lot of people do not recognize the power of social media. They don't recognize how to use it, what each social media platform is actually geared towards, where you can really grow a business and use it for that purpose. There's nothing wrong for using it for socially, but people are forgetting that there's other sources of information. There's books, that people having a conversation. I mean, I have walked into a restaurant and seen six people all sitting there around a table, supposedly out for dinner, all on their phones, and they don't even talk to each other, just text each other. And that just blows my mind. Or even when you get back to, education, they're not teaching kids even cursive handwriting anymore because they're assuming the internet's always going to be here. Well, I hate to tell you folks, but one EMP strike or something from the sun can knock out your whole EMP or your whole internet infrastructure, and then what do? People would be lost. People are lost now. People, they're seeing globally that mental health issues, anxiety, fear, lack of coping, social isolation are at an all-time high. I understand when I say social isolation, I should say fallout from social isolation. People, I'm finding, it's almost like when you've talked about helicopter parenting, that
Yep.
children, with helicopter parents have a hard time learning how to entertain themselves because they got mom and dad as their playmates, rather than realizing how to entertain yourself. Even during this kind of situation that none of us have ever seen, knowing how to entertain yourself. There's not just TV. There's not just, yes, we need people, we need social interaction, but I can't tell you how many people I said to you, well, most of my best friends live in southern US or all over the place or all over the world. We get together online, have a party together on Skype or video chat. So many people haven't even thought of that. You don't need to be sitting in the same room 2 feet away from each other to have a great time or get together and socialize. It's being creative. I'm finding that's what's lacking.
That's why we socialize through Skype. You're upstairs, I'm
That's
downstairs.
right. Or text. No, that's not true. We spend a lot of time. We talked about a lot of this stuff. Like you, we're on the last show together, Joe's show, The Centralist. You came up and said, hey, you want to be on my show? Of course, because we have these conversations even off air about this kind of stuff. And it's not to criticize. It's the fact that I don't know what the solution is, because we can identify the problem, but the solution is to get people to start thinking outside the box, act like there is no box, start getting creative and pulling together, putting your differences aside, and instead of, what's going on right now, and it's not just in the US, we're seeing it all around the world. People with these kind of rioting, looting behaviors, people are getting hurt. We're losing, they're losing what the real reason was why this first started in the first place, the protest. But second of all, pulling together as a group and putting your differences aside, even willing to agree to disagree, but focus on what the issue is and come up with some solutions. There's more of us than there is in government. And finding out what government's agenda is, a lot of us don't know, and
Well,
just try.
that's very true. There is that. Well, see, the original part was that government was supposed to be part for the people to like it when it was small town politics, right? Was to increase to get stuff that was done around your small town. But as you go and work up the ladder to get up to getting to here in Canada, premier or in the States, president, their focus is mostly on financial gain for themselves and what they can do for the people that are going to make money for themselves, right? That comes into this whole part of capitalism and the part that this everything's there. And well, you've seen what the Clintons have done, that pay to play stuff. And then you see what mm-hmm. other people like to be president. I think in the US, I think you have to have so much money to advance to the next level, then so much more money and yep. donations and stuff to get to the next level, which is not the way that actually government should work for a person. There, somebody's standing up there for the whole community. There shouldn't be this financial goal meeting to hit, to do things, right?
Right.
So you see how things have sort of regressed the wrong direction into a way yeah. that it goes back to this oligarchy type thing that you have. You're getting back like the U.S. North America left Europe to get away from monarchy rule. And now right. they just have that is now you don't have monarchy rule. You have one, you have whoever has the most money is dictating what everybody else is doing, right? Mm-hmm. And making, setting the rules for everybody. Like I have another point here is that a lot of people are upset, but none are asking or seeing the bigger picture. Focus on one thing, attention. What did I say? They're only focused on one thing. They're sort of laser beamed in this one image of where they're going, okay, that's around them. And I have this whole thing about the prestige, and this is the thing that the government uses a lot. And if you don't know what the prestige is, you've seen the movie maybe done by the guy who played Wolverine.
Right? Oh, right. Okay. Yep.
So the prestige is a magic trick, right? And this comes into right. the whole part about why it's called magical perception mm-hmm. pastry, right? Because right. like as a pastry, you don't know what the filling is. Like I hate cream, but I love lemon. If lemon or blueberries in there, it's great. But if I get like something like rhubarb in the center, like, oh geez, something is switched out, right? So the three steps of the prestige are, right, there's the pledge. Something you know, right? So there's something that's right. being there that you know, right? The next is the turn. They twist it, right? An extraordinary event happens. And then number three, the prestige, the reveal, right? And you think you're getting what you saw at the beginning, but actually you don't ever get to touch or see what it is. You don't know. It could be a clone. It could be something different or right. hidden with other things, right? It'd be like a in that thing there, invasion of the body snatchers, right? You see the person, they disappear, they come back. You think it's the same person, but it's actually something different. And this is a lot of stuff that's seeing. And I put a quote in there, it says, you only see with your eyes, but not with your mind. And that's right. what a lot of people see. And they're reactionary. A lot of people are very, very reactionary. And I call them the actors. They're the riot forming. They're the reaction. The whatever, right? There's no solution, but they want a desired result for nothing that they even care about. So all these people that are burning down cities in the US right now and in Europe and stuff like that, do you think they even knew who this George Floyd was? They just care about their peer group that somebody says, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. We should stand up for that. Let's fight. Let's burn the city down. Let's burn down this store, right? And the thing is, though, is that this is the part that I'm sort of also thinking, this is another added ingredient to throw into the pot. I think some of these places that actually burnt down, I think some people were saying like, hey, look at our store's not going to be open at all because of this COVID-19 pandemic. Okay. You know what? How about I just go and burn down my store and say, this is the riot mob that did this.
Right.
And see if I can collect some insurance money out of this. And I know Joe had said on his show on the Centralist, there is that, hey, well, you don't get any money for arsons during riots, but that doesn't occur in every state and every province and every other country. That mm-hmm. might be just for his state that it's like that. It doesn't mean that every state has different rules and laws for stuff.
Right.
There's stuff for acts of God. There's stuff for other things that happen. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agreed with you about that. And there's always a way to make something look like an accident. And if something really did happen during a riot and you could prove that you had nothing to do with that, depending on where you live, I mean, you pay insurance for a reason. So it depends on probably what state you're in, what country, what province. But yeah, I can see people doing that to cover their losses. I mean, you know, the other thing that I think is happening is and why I believe there's a puppet master pulling the strings, if you'll call it that, or the baker throwing in the ingredients, since we're talking about the delicious recipe, is that this was ripe for the picking. This is going exactly the way I think the baker planned it, with the fact that we've got a whole world here, a lot of young people, especially afraid of the future, afraid of dying, a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of depression, a lot of sadness. You know, the coronavirus is kind of dying out. Everybody's pretty well moving to phase two, if you will, and trying to cope as best as well as they can. Yeah. But why not stir the pot more? Now let's throw this in here. Let's get everybody else even more and more riled up so we can get part, you know, part of the plan in place, that we get martial law, or we get, you know, military in there, and people lose even more of the rights. First part of the test, people, you know, all the children played nicely. Everybody lined up, or all the eggs in the dozen there. Everybody lined up. Nobody cracked. We all held still and did what we were supposed to. Nobody rose up, and everybody just said, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. I was one of the people when we've talked about this, and we both agreed, like, okay, we've identified what the problem is. What's the solution? Nobody did everything. And there was actually a video I watched last night, and I posted, I think I shared it, and I put hashtag truth. It's an elderly lady in the UK, and she's talking about all this stuff. It's a kind of a commercial type scenario, and she's going, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And they're going, no, I didn't agree to this. I didn't agree to this. And they're going, listen, I'm going to give you an example. You walk into a store, and she was using the British currency. So she said, and you find a t-shirt that's £1. Everybody's rushing in there to buy that t-shirt for £1. The shop owner gets, I think she said, 5 shillings. And yet there's some poor little kid in a third world country that probably, if they're lucky, got paid 0.01 of a shilling, or whatever they called it, a pence, to get paid for this. Did you do anything about it? No, because you want the bargain. She goes, it's the same thing with the coronavirus. Did you like it? No, well, I didn't support that. I didn't support this. And she's going on about all these world issues. And then she says, but yeah, none of you liked it, maybe. You all grumbled about it and complained about it, but what did you do? You all put your hands up in the air and said, well, it's just the way it's supposed to be. I guess it's the new normal. So guess what? We can't point the fingers at everybody else and say it's their problem, it's their problem, it's their problem. It's all our problem. Like I said earlier in this broadcast, that we need to all pull together. Put our differences aside, look at what the issue is, don't lose focus of what the issue is, and gather together, pull together, and try and get a solution. I can't see that happening, but that really is what we need to do, I think.
Well, the big thing there that I've seen there through many peer groups and social media groups and people that I have there, and just even looking around, and what I overhear what people are talking about, and it goes back to this. I mentioned this quote, I think, a few episodes ago, and I can't remember if it's Joseph Goebbels or Edward Bernays, but if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it as truth. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are just it's really sad is that our education system doesn't teach more stress on the system, and they focus more on Shakespeare and other stuff, which are all important. Arts are really important. I think music should never have been taken out of the schools, and same with reduction in phys ed. I think that's a really bad thing that was taken out of schools, because I think living a healthy life, I think they should have taught a little bit more home ec in schools, people to be self-sufficient and shop. Everybody should have learned that, how many people do you know, girls or even millennials, know how to change a tire? Because I know your son didn't know how to change a tire, and he's like 22 years old, but he drives a license, but doesn't know how to change a tire. But not just picking on him, but other people around that age there too, right? Because there's sort of this thing that, hey, well, I can just call somebody and they'll come and do it for me.
He had that kind of dad, though, too. Like, I have to give that kind of son of that credit, because I remember when I first met my first husband, and something broke down in our house when we first got married, and he goes, well, I'll call someone to fix it. I said, what do you mean you'll call someone to fix it? He goes, well, yeah, I don't know how to fix that. And I said, what do you mean you don't know how to fix that? I said, I grew up in a house. He never wanted to live together before. That's why I always think people should live together. So you really know what people are like when you live with them. And he goes, well, I don't know how to fix that. And I go, my dad fixed everything in the house. We never called anybody. And I said, what did your dad do? Well, he always called people to fix it. So my kids grew up with that. They never grew up with someone that knew how to fix things. And even you maybe mentioned this yourself, how important it is for people to learn trades. There's nothing wrong with having a trade. We need that. Again,
that was always frowned upon, like even here in Thunder Bay, right? Either mm-hmm. My parents forced me to go to collegiate, right? Says, well, the only way you'd be successful in life, you go to collegiate. But what did I end up doing? I did trades. Like I would have been way better going to vocational school and gone into the stuff that I was doing, welding, woodworking, all that stuff there instead of learning about Shakespeare. But don't get me wrong, I met a lot of great people there too, and I enjoy and love them all. And there's a lot of stuff. And I learned that stuff as a extracurricular stuff on my own, which I found a lot more enjoyment in. Mm-hmm. And like I went into, like I said, like prospecting, cooking, iron workers, did stuff like that and other stuff. And I never ever wanted to be in a cubicle or an office or in a building. Cause I did that. I worked for the Ministry of Environment for two contracts, and I hated being inside a building. Get me on the road, get me out of there. Right. And it's like,
yeah, but part of what I was going to say is, okay, and I can say this myself, that 95% of what I've learned in school, I've never used. On top of it, except maybe the languages that I picked up, did take home ec, so I learned about sewing. I wish I had been allowed to take shop. When I went to school, shop wasn't allowed for girls.
Yeah, but the thing about school is that you learned and you got your mark that you were trainable. That you can follow directions. You're a good little sheeple.
No, but my point is that schools should really be gearing learning. And I've learned this, I think, from having a child with autism, that gearing learning to a child's interests, like it's much more easy to teach a child that way, on top of the fact of giving them stuff that they're going to be able to use in life. Definitely.
For sure. Yeah. Like what have we done there? Like, we did a couple of shows there back before, a couple of years ago, about prepping and about how important it is to have things and have those in supply. And this is like years before this pandemic happened, mm-hmm. knowing that there might be something that down the road is that if you're not prepared for it, you're going to mm-hmm. be sort of stuck in a lurch. And, I think what the statistic is that 85% of North Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and they don't have a little backup behind them, right? Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening there when they shut everything down, people panicked. And that's a great thing for fear causes change for mm-hmm. people that are in power to allow things to happen, right? If you take away 80% of your freedom and you give back 40, you are very grateful for the 40 you got back. You're not thinking about the 40 that you lost, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And people, and a lot of people, and I see this when I'm going out there, they're like, hey, you should be grateful. We're getting able to do this. Is going, no, you're not looking at the bigger picture that's going on here. A lot more of your freedom and stuff is being taken away, and controls are being put in place so that you can't do this. Now you can look at the stuff that's happening in the States. Like, why is these people burning down cities over one death that happened that was videotaped? It seems very peculiar. And we've talked about this on this show beforehand. So if anybody is watching this and wants to go in, there was a whole big discussion on the Centralist beforehand about what happened there. And there's a lot of really.
You also discussed it. Infinite Inquisition today. So there's quite a good lot of good discussions today on UPRN. You can go back and check the previous shows. We'd love to have you do that on the archives and check out the various discussions. Put the pieces together yourselves and start doing research.
That's one thing that I always say on here. It says, don't believe me, go out and do the research. But if you're lazy and you don't want to do the research, then it's your own fault. And mm-hmm. you know what? You deserve. But I'm just here. This is what the whole thing about the delicious recipe is about, is throwing things in the pot and seeing what comes out. Maybe you're going to find out that you're going to get, hey, maybe that's a different way to look at things. Or maybe, hey, this tastes good. Or maybe this really tastes bad. I didn't really realize that. It's a whole bunch of things. It's different points of view. And there's no opinion. Nothing's right or wrong here. Just throwing things out there to get people thinking and get them back to thinking. Because I had this quote. I did this at the very beginning of my show when I first started on here. As a baby, you're always asking why. You go to school, you're told why. Mm-hmm. When you leave school, you know why, because you've been told why. You stop asking questions. Mm-hmm. And this is the whole thing about this show, Delicious Recipe. Taste things, ask questions, see how it tastes, see how it feels, understand everything, and just take a little bit broader look at the world. The world doesn't just exist in the little town you're in. There are bigger things happening outside that influence that little small microcosm you're in. The world is a big, huge geode that's crushed up like a grape. I'm not a flat earther, so don't worry about that. But there's a lot of things going on in other places that affect what's happening in your own town. You might not think it's that big, but they actually affect things. The price of your gas, the price of your bread, the eggs you get at the store, the milk you get from the cow, the steak you get from there, the road that doesn't get potholes fixed. Everything trickles down. There's so many interconnected webs and stuff. But then there's the people that you don't see who are controlling that. You think it's government, but there's also people above them that are controlling what they are, because they're paying their salaries. And so it's a whole trickle-down economy, and you have to sort of look a little bit further than your own yard. Would you say that's true there, Laura?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for having me on tonight. We're going to continue this discussion with my guest. Actually, they just messaged me. That's why I thought I'd remind you. They're waiting in the wings here. So thank you again, Del, for having me on. I wanted to give you time to play your outro. So
okay.
He works on it all week.
Thank you for being a guest. Upstairs and down the stairs. You're a friend of friend of, not even friend, friend of friend of friend. Maybe you're not a friend.
Maybe you're not.
You can't even play the chorus. Anyways, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you very much for anybody that's listening here to the Delicious Recipe. I'll have a better outro next time there. I forgot the song because I was already thinking about something else and I didn't want to cut into Laura's time. So thank you very much. Delicious Recipe, you're with your host Adele and Laura Lee from the Angel Rock. You guys have a great night and enjoy the next show.
Thanks for having me. I'll be up in about 5-10 minutes, folks. Thanks so much. Have a good night. Yeah.